Chapter 14, The Protection of Whistleblowers. Introduction. Cynthia Stimple is the Chief Operations Officer of Accountability Now. Like Justice Richard Goldstone, the trustee of Accountability Now, she has kindly agreed to help with this book by contributing a chapter. Hers is on the controversial topic of the protection of whistleblowers. From her experience as Group Treasurer of South African Airways, Cynthia is well placed to give an insider's perspective. She worked for SAA for 10 years, firstly in the capacity as Head Financial Risk Management, and then for the last 2 years as Group Treasurer. Key focus areas included managing the debt portfolio and cash flow of SAA, while analysing the hedging portfolio and cost savings for SAA. As Group Treasurer, Cynthia participated in board meetings as an invitee. It was in this role that she discovered, exposed, and whistle-blew on a procurement transaction which actions saved SAA and the people of South Africa 256 million rand. As Group Treasurer, she chaired some of the meetings in the absence of the Chief Financial Officer. The experiences around the whistleblowing led to her retirement from South African Airways and to giving evidence at the State Capture Commission of Inquiry, chaired by Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo in Johannesburg. Cynthia is currently teaching yoga to adults and children, serves as a board member at the Johannesburg Children's Home, and as chairperson of the TAG board with Amnesty International South Africa. She is also a board member of Health E News. On the 20th of March 2019, Cynthia received a Citation of Integrity Award from the Airline Pilots Association of South Africa. She is well placed due to her personal experiences and background to write on whistleblowing. Cynthia disclosed and resisted a corrupt and fraudulent procurement transaction approved by the South African Airways Board to pay a small service provider called BNP Capital Pty Limited, we'll call them BNP, an amount of 256 million rand for sourcing funds for SAA, which would normally have cost SAA a fraction of that sum through sourcing the funds via the banking system. Cynthia challenged the process of using an unknown entity, which won the tender as the transaction advisor, no experience in sourcing of funds, through the connivance of Interim Chief Financial Officer Pumeza Clanchi. Cynthia was told that it was the board function to make the decisions and not hers. She reported the matter both to the executive managers and to the chief risk officer, who did not do anything about it. She then reported the matter to the national treasury officials, and they too did not do anything about it. On the advice of an SAA executive manager who, like her, was also suspended, she reported the matter to the organization Undoing Tax Abuse, or OTA, a CSO, which immediately acted by sending a letter of demand to SAA to stop the transaction, failing which it would be interdicted in court. SAA ignored the demand sent by attorneys Weber Wenzel. Cynthia then worked together with Weber Wenzel to interdict the BNP transaction, which was done in the Johannesburg High Court on the 21st of July 2016. During this period, the interim CEO, Pumeza Clancy, and the CEO, Musa Zwani, requested approval from the SAA board to allow a payment of $49 million to BNP Capital as a cancellation fee on the 7th of July 2016. Letter of demand also happened to reach SAA on the 7th of July 2016. Fortunately, with the interdict in place, SAA had to stop the transaction. This action saved SAA, a state-owned enterprise, 256 million rand, which would never otherwise have been recouped. Furthermore, the chairperson, Ms. Dudu Mnyeni, together with her board, Yaki Kwinana, Dr. John Tambi, Mr. Musa Zwani, who's acting CEO, and Ms. Pumeza Nhlansi, the interim chief financial officer, proceeded to recommend and approve on 7th July 2016 an amount of 49.9 million as a cancellation fee for BNP Capital. Fortunately, this payment was stopped because of the whistleblowing and the media hype. Trumped up charges of misconduct, speaking to the media, and insolence were leveled at Cynthia. After 10 months of stress and upon the advice of her lawyer, Cynthia took early retirement from SAA as she was 6 months from turning 60. SAA paid her salary for those 6 months. Cynthia is the founder of Citizens of Conscience, supporting the rights and plights of whistleblowers. She is also a motivational public speaker, speaking on her story as a whistleblower and making a difference where you are. This is the story about Cynthia's experience. Here is her analysis of whistleblowing. Whistleblowing. The term whistleblower is drawn from the sporting arenas in which referees blow the whistle when players break the rules. Players, as well as the supporters, can hear the whistle once it is blown. Depending on which rule has been broken, the player must abide by the rule and the sanction meted out to that player. What is a whistleblower? Defined by the Oxford Dictionary, it is to blow the whistle, A, to inform on, and B, to bring a stop to. According to Edward Snowden in his book Permanent Record, he suggests the following definition. In layman's terms, a whistleblower is one who has disclosed on something that they have found to be unethical or unlawful or contravening policies and procedures. However, whistleblowing is perceived with negative connotations globally. Descriptive pejorative words are used for whistleblowers,
such as impimpi in South Africa.
Other words are snitch, informer, tattletale, disloyal, betrayer, Judas are just a few of these. Ironically, though, it is when the whistle is blown on a corrupt or unlawful activity in the corporate world and government that there are perverse outcomes. The whistleblowers are silenced. They have no voice. They are strangled. Their cry for justice is not heard at all. It is as if blowing the whistle, blowing as hard as one can, with no sound coming out. The whistleblowers themselves feel as if they are being strangled and silenced and no one is listening. David Lewis of Corruption Watch suggested at a Daily Maverick event in 2019, Business Against Corruption, that there are three types of whistleblowers. A, the first whistleblower, who is pure, who, like Cynthia Stimple, upon realizing that there is fraud or corruption, takes action and reports it to the detriment and self-sacrifice, both equanimity and job, in order to stop the corruption. B, the second type of whistleblower is like Suzanne Daniels, who has been in the inner circle and, being aware of the corruption, took action much later down the line and reported the perpetrators and the corruption, providing all the evidence. She too suffered detriment and is treated as an outcast. And C, the third type of whistleblower, is like Angelo Agrizzi, who had been deeply part of the corruption and wants to now bargain for his life and safety, and hence decided to whistleblow on his company, Busasa, as disclosed by him at the Zondo Commission. Legislation concerning protected disclosures. Over the years, many countries have sought to develop legislation regarding disclosing of sensitive or confidential information in order to stop or prevent unlawful activities, as well as protection of whistleblowers. Listed below are a few examples of pieces of legislation from various countries. In South Africa, there is the Protected Disclosures Act 2000 and its Amendment Act of 2017. The Protected Disclosures Act talks to the points of transparency, Bill of Rights, freedom of expression and openness. It deals with the employer-employee relationship, and its key points can be summarized as follows. 1. Every employer and employee has the responsibility to disclose criminal and any irregular conduct in the workplace. 2. Employers have the responsibility to protect employees making such disclosures from retaliation. 3. Employers have the obligation to create a culture that facilitates disclosure of criminal and irregular conduct. In the United States of America, the Whistleblower Protection Act was made into federal law in the United States in 1989. Whistleblower protection laws and regulations guarantee freedom of speech for workers and contractors in certain situations. Whistleblowers are protected from retaliation for disclosure of information which the employee or applicant reasonably believes evidences a violation of any law, rule, or regulation, or gross mismanagement, a gross waste of funds, an abuse of authority, or a substantial and specific danger to public health and safety. In the United Kingdom, there is the Public Interest Disclosure Act of 1998. Protection for whistleblowers in the United Kingdom is provided under the Public Interest Disclosure Act of 1998, which amends the Employment Rights Act of 1996. The new act protects employees and workers who blow the whistle about wrongdoing. Only certain kinds of disclosure qualify for protection under the new act. It provides the rights for workers to take a case to an employment tribunal if they have been victimized at work or they have lost their jobs because they have blown the whistle. In France, there is very little specific statutory protection for whistleblowers. However, the French National Commission for Data Protection and Liberties imposes a duty to protect those who make a complaint under the employer's whistleblower procedures. In Australia, there is the Australian Security and Investment Commission. To encourage whistleblowers to come forward with their concerns and protect them when they do, the Corporations Act of 2001 gives certain categories of people legal rights and protection as whistleblowers. Whistleblowers play an important role in identifying and calling out misconduct and harm to consumers and the community. From the 1st of July 2019, the whistleblower protections in the Corporations Act have been expanded to provide greater protections for whistleblowers. This includes requiring public companies, large proprietary companies, and corporate trustees of APRA-regulated superannuation entities to have a whistleblower policy as from the 1st of January 2020. The new laws introduce enhanced requirements designed to protect a whistleblower's identity during and following a disclosure. For the first time in Australia, whistleblowers can submit reports without the need to declare their identity or prove the disclosure is being made in good faith. In New Zealand, there is the Protected Disclosures Act of 2000. In the year 2000, the New Zealand Parliament recognised the importance of reporting suspected serious wrongdoing in organisations with the enactment of the Protected Disclosures Act of 2000. The Act aims to facilitate speaking up about suspected serious wrongdoing so that the organisation can do something about it. The rights and plights of whistleblowers. For most whistleblowers, there is no end to the story. For most, the harassment in various forms never stops. Most are never vindicated. Usually, their allegations remain unproven or clouded in doubt and controversy, and most never receive justice. The problems that they sought to uncover are not corrected, and no one is called to account. FAIR, The Whistleblower's Ordeal, 2013, courtesy of the Ethics Institute. According to Norton Rose Fulbright, in an article published in April 2019 regarding the EU compliance in the whistleblowing agreement, they state under the section of rights of whistleblowers that whistleblowers have the right to be supported by the competent authorities in protecting themselves against any adverse consequences. In summary, though, although there is legislation in place, and as in South Africa, whistleblowers are not protected at all. Ethics of whistleblowing. The question is whether there is ethics in whistleblowing. The majority of people would rather look the other way than speak out. Charlie Middleton, author and whistleblower, on proposing to reduce corruption by increasing the incentives for insiders to report wrongdoing at work, reports what he was told by colleagues. In principle, it sounds correct and a potential step in the right direction. However, from my observation of the empirical evidence, there are multiple challenges. 1. The incentives to whistleblow, while potentially large, are uncertain. Employees are in a captured system and are afraid of retaliation. The retaliation is much more dangerous than the protection offered by those who reward whistleblowers. 2. Many specialists, like human resources departments and executive search professionals, openly say that whistleblowing is unethical since the employee who turns out to be a whistleblower is betraying his or her employer-trust relationship. Their view is that even if the employer has committed criminal acts and other wrongdoing, an ethical and fair employee should act responsibly and should not betray the trust of his or her responsibility to adhere to the confidentiality and trust obligations of his or her job requirement. As much as society perceives whistleblowing as a pariah status, society at large would not have known about corrupt activities happening in South Africa or other countries. For example, the Gupta leaks, the state capture by Busasa, the extent of corruption in public service, Steinhoff, VBS Bank, South African Airways, PRASA, Transnet, Eskom, Denel, more recent crooked procurement cases following the COVID-19 pandemic. Daily Maverick published an article on the 1st of March 2019, authored by Marianne Merton. She wrote, "State capture has extracted an enormous price directly and indirectly on South Africans, most harshly on the poorest and most vulnerable, who cannot opt for private housing, private health insurance, private education, and private security. Here's how the cost of state capture adds up to 1.5 trillion rand over the past 4 years or so. 250 R52.5 billion in lost budget, R67 billion more in debt service costs, R90 billion lost in tax revenue collection, R506 billion were lost from the value of South African bonds and listed companies in the March 2017 midnight cabinet reshuffle. Nenegate wiped out R378 billion from the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. R200 billion was overspent on Medupi and Kusile coal power stations that are not only over budget but also overdue in completion. The directly state capture identified costs include R1 billion for McKinsey consultancy fees, R657 million Eskom prepayments for coal to the Gupta-owned Tegeta, and R5.3 billion finder's fee to a Gupta-linked company in the Transnet locomotive deal. Repercussions for whistleblowers. Whistleblowers all too often feel the extreme repercussions of society once they blow the whistle. They become the pariahs, outcast, treated like lepers. Everyone avoids their company and even speaking to them. They are made out to be liars, disloyal to their peers, colleagues, and places of employment. Charges against them are trumped up. They are alleged to have committed misconduct. They are gaslit, labeled as troublemakers, non-team players, poor performers, etc. The plight suffered by whistleblowers can be extreme. Some have lost homes, lost jobs, lost both current income and future income. Whistleblowers lose self-confidence. We start doubting ourselves. Many of us go through mental depression and have to see psychologists and psychiatrists. Some of us lose our friends, our families, our spouses, our children through this saga of whistleblowing. Some of us never recover, and some of us commit suicide. Society is harsh where whistleblowers are concerned, and only in very few areas will one find empathy and understanding. Example case study of whistleblowing. The Chichonga case is a valuable precedent, and yet the case is not being used by lawyers when dealing with whistleblowing cases. The majority defer to labor issues, and the cases are dealt with at the CCMA and Labor Court. A brief summary of the Chichonga case. The four elements identified in this case for a situation to qualify as one justifying a protected disclosure are: 1. The impropriety is of an exceptionally serious nature. 2. The disclosure has been made to the employer and no action has been taken within a reasonable period. 3. The employee has reason to believe that the evidence will be concealed or destroyed if the disclosure is made to the employer and there is no regulatory body prescribed. And 4. The employee has reason to believe that she or he will be subjected to occupational detriment. Reparations and remedies, rewards and compensation. Through my own experience and meeting and communicating with other whistleblowers and like-minded people who want to assist whistleblowers, there is a strong and urgent need for reparations. To fix the situation, the following needs to be in place to assist future whistleblowers or to create a culture in our society to speak up and speak out when one observes wrongdoing. Firstly, training. Secondly, legal assistance and the improvement of current legislation. Thirdly, trauma counseling and psychological or psychiatric services. 4, financial assistance. 5, movement towards removing the stigma of whistleblowers. 6, movement towards encouraging ethical behavior. 7, rewards and compensation. Firstly, then, training. Training is needed for the whistleblower as well as training for the respective manager or senior who receives the whistleblowing report. Training for human resources practitioners is also indicated. When one is about to disclose any wrongdoing, It is one of the most difficult actions in one's life. There is no template, no handbook, no instruction readily available. Recently, civil society organization Corruption Watch and the Ethics Institute have independently published a whistleblowing handbook. In recent years, many other companies and legal firms have taken similar steps, realizing the need for such a handbook. Although many organizations within South Africa and globally are conducting training in ethics and bringing awareness to ethics, fraud, corruption, this does not hit home to individuals in their respective positions. There appears no congruency in translating ethical behavior into their active workplace conduct. Hence, this is an area for further development. 2, legal assistance and improve current legislation. The majority of whistleblowers have suffered the detriment of not being able to afford legal fees. Hence, they would be bullied and retaliated against by the company in question, perpetuating the fraud with assistance from expensive lawyers who only fight for their client and not for true justice. The end result being that the whistleblower stops fighting, gives up because the costs are too high and the battle too unequal. A recommendation would be that there should be a voluntary panel of lawyers, attorneys, senior and junior counsel who are prepared to assist whistleblowers from a justice perspective and not a monetary perspective. Improving and enhancing the current Protected Disclosures Act legislation and ensure independence from the Labor Relations Act. 3, trauma counseling and psychological psychiatric assistance. Many, if not all, whistleblowers suffer mental depression, trauma, psychological effects, and psychiatric detriment. We are all affected one way or the other. Whistleblowers need to rely on their mental strength, their belief system, the families, friends, and society. However, if all these fall like dominoes around them, how do they cope? No funds to sustain them, loss of income and subsequent consequences, no medical aid, and hence make them financially unable to seek suitable medical assistance. The recommendation would be that there is a panel of voluntary trauma counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, and whistleblowing support groups established. 4, financial assistance. The financial detriment has knocked all whistleblowers, or even people just refusing to do the wrong things, who are then dismissed from their workplace, the hardest. Many of us are still suffering the impacts years later. Many have lost their homes, their earnings, their potential to earn is destroyed by the media or by the companies who make it difficult for them to be employed. It is recommended that a special fund or funds be set up to assist whistleblowers to get back on their feet, to give them back their dignity, and most importantly, to be able to assist their children to conduct their education at primary, secondary, and tertiary levels. Banks should not be hounding whistleblowers and instead write off their debts or collect their debt from the company who fired them. It is also conceivable that employers should offer insurance cover against the fallout of whistleblowing. 5, movement to remove the stigma of whistleblowing. The stigma of whistleblowing is the hardest to remove, although many people will perceive the whistleblower as a hero, brave and courageous. There is still a stigma attached by human resources staff, executives, senior people in organizations and amongst society. This will fall under the training and education of staff in organizations together with their seniors and executives. Risk management and compliance departments are involved. The employment contracts and the code of ethics in companies must incorporate and align the points of conducting oneself in an ethical manner and not disclosing confidential information. There is incongruence in these statements. More work needs to be done here. 6,
movement to encourage people to behave ethically. By instilling ethics at a young age via early learning development, primary and high schools, university and workplaces, encouraging having a conscience, striving at all times to do the right thing. 7. Rewards and compensation. The Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States is authorized by Congress to provide monetary awards to eligible individuals who come forward with high-quality original information that leads to a commission enforcement action in which over the amount of $1 million in sanctions is ordered. The range of awards is between 10 and 30% of the money collected. In the United Kingdom, compensation is assessed on losses suffered by the whistleblower. There is no reward for disclosures. Requirements must be met, including that the disclosure is of a type that is protected. The whistleblower must have a reasonable belief that the disclosure is made in the public interest. Large payouts are possible in the UK, depending on the nature of the losses being claimed. The other type of claim is for suffering detriment, for example, being denied training opportunities, being demoted, or refused a promotion. Compensation for injury to feelings can be claimed under detriment, but not under unfair dismissal. Notwithstanding this, if whistleblowers are suing for unfair dismissal, they can also seek compensation for injury to feelings by pursuing an additional claim for any detriments they were subjected to before or after dismissal. Whistleblowing in the UK is less lucrative than in the US. Essentially, one system rewards for whistleblowing and the other compensates for losses. Some argue that the US system is preferable because people are rewarded for coming forward rather than compensated for the adverse consequences of whistleblowing. On the one hand, rewards for reporting incentivize early detection and may avoid the consequences of workplace practices such as illegal behavior and flouting health and safety procedures. On the other hand, it can be argued that reporting wrongdoing should be its own reward. Other countries have implemented various whistleblowing policies within their places of work. However, there is no compensation or rewards as yet linked to any disclosures. South Africa has in the past paid informers in the apartheid years for information. This action has continued in the post-apartheid years in the government and military. It is recommended that this should be revisited, especially when government itself is stealing from the poor. Conclusion. South Africa has many examples of people who stood their ground and blew the lid off corrupt activities. And the vast majority have paid a dear price for their moral action, many losing their jobs, families, and their lives. One of the well-publicized whistleblower cases is that of Wendy Addison, who opened a can of worms on executive self-enrichment schemes within the LeisureNet group some 18 years ago. She too paid the price of having to leave the country and live in hardship for years as she struggled to find work in a foreign country. She is now the founder of Speak Up, Speak Out, and she trains companies on how to focus on having those courageous conversations. Others, like Lennox Garani, senior parliamentary manager, shot himself in his office in Parliament as a protest suicide. The whistleblowing incident that sparked the biggest exposure in South Africa and gave rise via the intervention of the public protector to the State Capture Commission is indeed the Gupta Leaks. The lives of the brave people who encountered and exposed the hard drive of the Sahara CEO, a kingpin in the daily dealings of the Gupta Empire, have also been threatened and impacted by having to relocate and experience a massive upheaval in their lives. They are no longer living in South Africa and had to leave family and friends for their own personal safety. Many people have come forward to speak at the Zondo Commission on state capture, albeit that some are lying to protect themselves. This process in the Zondo Commission has enabled the moral courage levels to rise in many, to tell it like it happened, even though their experience and consequences were not as stressful and costly as the following people and others had to endure. Terry Crawford Brown, Susan Daniels, Mosilo Motepo, Bianca Goodson-Smith, Temba Maseku, Dr. Masimba Dawa, Ms. Tulim Che, Sylvian Bosch, Tara Jandral, June Bellamy, Altu Sadi, Juan Larina, Ethel Williams, Devashan Moodley Vera, Lennox Garani, Zelda Holtzman, Martina Della Tonga, and many, many others. If we are to fight corruption more meaningfully in South Africa, Africa and the world, we need to find improved ways of protecting and rewarding whistleblowers. We need them to feel safe and protected, to come forward and expose that which robs shareholders and citizens of tens of billions of rand each year. Corruption is a crime against humanity. To all whistleblowers out there who have played their part in thwarting transactions that need to be blocked, no matter how small, or whether it is in the private or public sector, we salute you. We recognize your suffering, your anguish, and the pain that you and your families have endured. We thank you, and we can only wish that we had more of you. If only we could have protected and comforted you. If only we could help you have that which you have lost returned to you 100-fold. These are the words of Wayne Duvenage of Outer.